Hello, welcome to Mark Langley's Horsemanship Podcast, a podcast helping people to understand their horses better, to provide solutions in a calm, connected way.
Hi, I'm Mark Langley.
And I'm Ebony Langley, filling in for Jenny in her absence. This week, the questions for you are on canter departures that go all wrong outside, getting a horse used to something scary behind it, and managing a dislike for the farrier. But the first question is more of a philosophical one. It's about eye contact and comes from Gail in the UK. She hasn't been to a clinic with you yet, but she has been working through your challenge videos and has seen some of the footage of people being a tree at your clinics, which is what the challenge also includes. Being a tree is a concept you have termed to mean being very centered and rooted to your spot where you are standing. You have used people gain personal space with pushy horses and for horses to change their perception about how they feel about a person. Gail has noticed that some of the people are using full eye contact whilst being a tree, and she would like to know if this is adding to pressure on the horses and why you didn't ask them to lower their glance.
It's a really good question that, Gail, and thanks very much, Ebony, for filling in for Jenny, I really appreciate that. But yeah, it's a wonderful question because it's a common thing, and I have seen trainers encourage people to lower their eye contact when they're dealing with horses and stuff. And there's times when dealing with a wild horse or a horse that's not used to people that I would sort of lower my energy, turn my eye contact away a little bit just to sort of help the horse adjust a little bit. But a lot of the horses you see me trying to get people to be like a tree around, they've been around people, they're used to, like, the eye contact may feel it intimidates a horse, but it shouldn't. So, you know, if we want to coexist with horses, then we'd like gently be very quiet and lower our energy and raise our energy and look away just to get the horses to trust us. But if we start to do it with our horses and think that's helping them all the time, then what we're doing is we're just showing them that maybe eye contact is a threat, and they'll stay threatened by it if we always adjust to the horse's anxiety in certain things. So when I walk up to a horse, and what I want everyone encourage everyone to do when they walk up to a horse is I really want them to walk up and look at the horse and smile and go, I'm walking up to you to show you that I'm a nice person. And eye contact should not be a threat to a horse. So if we start to get in a bit of a sort of a habit of, you know, with our horse when it's a little nervous, is lowering our eyes or looking away, then we're pretty well making that horse start to not trust anyone else that walks up to it. And another question, yeah, that I've been reading is about farrier. You know, so if the farrier walks up to the horse, or the broddy worker just walks up to the horse like a normal person, they don't have that same sort of, you know, awareness, then all of a sudden the horse gets sort of troubled around them. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to be grounded. We're trying to be a tree. The tree can move. It just means we're rooted into the ground. So every step is a confident, meaningful step, and we own our space. But when we walk up to a horse, we walk up, and if they show signs of sort of worry when we're sort of approaching them and we're looking at them, and we always look away and lower our energy, then we'll never teach them that it's okay to be walked up to. And I'm constantly trying to sort of look at horses and people and where they're at, and some clinics, you know, I'm teaching people just to walk up to their horse without listening to all the signs and just touch and go. And then what happens after about 10 or 15 of times of doing that, where the person just touches the horse and leaves, and all of a sudden we can walk up to the horse in a hurry. And the horse, actually, some of them just walk up to us softly and meet us because they said, oh, I always thought that energy stuff was a threat. So by showing them that looking at them is not a threat, and walking up to them and educating them to understand it's not a threat, then one day they'll believe it's not a threat and other people aren't threatening. So when you're dealing with wild horses, yes, you might want to look away. You might want to sort of, you know, do a bit more of a much more subtle in-time approach and retreat and things like that. But when trying to get horses to coexist with people, it's super important we just be confident in ourselves, do what we normally do, but just don't have bad intention and malice towards our horses. And the horses, over all the years of working horses, they're okay with pressure, but bad intention is what, you know, usually causes most of the damage. So if we always show them that looking at them is a pressure, and then they'll always think that is dangerous. So it's super important we still be ourselves. So yeah, no, it's a good question.
The second question comes from Virginie. How do you train a young horse to be more confident and or comfortable with things being behind them without doing desensitization?
So it's very common, you know, if you look at horses, you know, unhandled horses or any horses that get nervous, though they're very, very good at looking down their sides compared to humans because their eyes are on their side, you know, their eyes are more like where our ears are in a sense. So they can sort of look down their side, though there's blind spots, you know, right behind them in the spot and then in the front of them. When they look at something and they need to assess it or understand it, it's very common that they still face it and put two eyes on it. You know, you ever seen the horse with it prick up its ears? Because then they can prick up their ears, they point their ears, they stare at it and go, what's that? So they still use that two eyes, you know, a lot of times to look at something that kind of concerns them. So a lot of times there's a lot of horses when we work them, they feel it, they need to keep two eyes on just to sort of, you know, that's the safe place in, you know. So what I say to people is a bit of a, you know, there's that old saying is where do you keep your friends close and where do you keep your enemies closer? So, you know, you don't want to sort of be having your enemies creeping up behind you. And a lot of horses, you know, while they're still wary, they're more wary around that back end. And usually, you know, you can get that first sniff with a horse and then eventually you've got to get to the back end to handle them. So basically what we're looking at, you know, to not desensitize them and flood them, I do a lot of leading exercises, and you'll notice there's a leading past exercise I do with a lot of horses. What I'm doing with that leading past exercise, I'm creating an environment where the horse is moving. So moving is really important opposed to standing. If the horse is constantly moving and thinking, then it's usually in a frame of mind which allows it to be, it can make decisions. When you encourage a horse to stand for too long, then they can go into that freeze or sort of learned helplessness, thinking possibly they're not supposed to move. So when you are at the back end and they do get a spook, they're still going to spin around and face you. So that's why I do a lot of leading past lessons, and, you know, I'll get them to lead past my shoulder and I might just back them out and bring them back in until their eye softens. And what happens is you watch their face and slowly but surely they'll walk past you, past the rib cage will walk past you, the hip will walk past you, and you'll see that they'll have the same expression. If they get too tight and they get to a point, say, for instance, their eye goes past your shoulder and they start to really worry, well, you just walk backwards and keep them walking in that position until they kind of go, oh, that's okay, I'm okay with that. And then you could always step out of their way and give them a little break, or you could back them out so they've done something and then they have a little break and then you do it again. So it's almost like approach and retreat, except the horse is doing something and following a feel. The other thing I'm doing in these lessons, when I feel the horse tighten, I just firm a little on the lead rope and say, you know, soften to that feel and trust the pressure. So they kind of follow the feel and lead a little bit, and that helps them feel a little bit better. So then later on, when they do get a proper spook, they're used to that rope coming in and helping them, or the rein coming in and helping them feel better. But slowly and surely, you get them to walk so till you can walk from the hip and just walk with them. And you just do that on both sides. It's a form of graded exposure where you dip them in a little bit and then you dip them out. You dip them in and out until they kind of all get all the way past you. And then what you do to expand from there, you might get a saddle blanket and you might hold a saddle blanket and wobble it a little bit and let them sniff it a little bit, because it's not a saddle blanket, they're allowed to sniff. But sometimes a flag, I won't let them sniff, because a flag is almost like a danger that they aren't allowed to necessarily sniff and become friends with, but they learn to trust the rein and learn to move around danger without being too worried. But if it's anything that's going to you handle them with or they're going to have on them, then they're allowed to sniff it. So I might kind of in front of them shake the saddle blanket, show that's the worst a saddle blanket can do. Follow me in the saddle blanket while they've got two eyes on it, while I'm shaking it, saying, look, it's not really that scary. And because they're following it and you're moving backwards, then they're going to be okay. And then basically you just do the same thing that you did without the saddle blanket, is get them to walk past you, back out, walk past you until they can nearly have that saddle blanket go all the way down their side over their hip, and then so you can sort of have them nearly in front of you while you're handling their hip with the saddle blanket, and just anything you want to expose to them, you kind of do it in that fashion. The other thing before you do any of the big scarier things like the saddle blankets and the saddles, it's always good to have the horse that can walk a straight line away from you while you follow it in that hindquarter area, and it's not trying to get away fast or spin around and face up. So that leading past leads to them walking out in a straight line and you following them and them being completely okay with that. And doing that, you'll find you'll make some big progress, but you won't get a shut down or frozen horse because you're constantly asking it little questions to think, to soften, to follow feel, and they're free in the mind, free in the body. So really, really important.
The third question comes from Carla in Germany. Why is a canter departure worse out on trail than in the indoor arena? On the trail, the canter leads to leaping, twisting, and bucking and wanting to bolt, even after walking and trotting for over an hour. Should she be happy with just the trot and leave it at that, or is there a way to get a more respectful canter, maybe lunging before going out on trail?
It's a common thing, Carla, that where horses can be a bit more explosive, especially when you add a bit more pressure and speed out on trail. So it sounds very obvious that the worry cup out on trail is quite a lot more full on your horse. But when the worry cup's full or nearly full, usually it's going to tell you what the horse kind of does with obedience in a more safe place when the worry cup's not so full but as still needs work. So there's two things you've got to think about here is, yes, your horse is more worried outside, but why is going into the canter worrying it so much, okay? So a common thing is the horse is processing all these things outside and it's a big deal for them. Some horses don't live, like if you've got a horse that lives out in a big paddock with trees and kangaroos, and I mean, I think you're from Germany, so you don't have that kangaroos in Germany. You might do, but you might have a more of an environment where your horse is in a stable and in a fairly safe little paddocks, and they're pretty well kind of used to that, but they're not used to the big, you know, we're going from over here and lots of stuff out in big pastures and stuff with trees and deer and all that sort of thing. So they're not used to processing all this environmental stuff that they come across when we take them into the forest and stuff like that. So it's a whole new kind of realm for them that they have to process. So basically, like, one area you have to think about is maybe the horse needs more miles processing at a more comfortable or processing speed. So, you know, some horses' processing speed might be a steady walk and they can process the forest and all the things in it and all the noises and the things that are happening. But any faster than that, they just get overwhelmed and they sort of, you know, it's just way too much for them. So, you know, sometimes you might want to spend like five days in a row just riding out into the forest, walking and just jogging up until you feel that horse is just very comfortable and the worry cup's not as full in the forest. So you're working underneath, you know, within their processing speed. And each day you'll feel their processing speed gets a higher processing speed gets more available so they can trot through the forest with confidence instead of going, what's that? Okay, so when you ask for the canter, it's probably just way too much. So that's probably one reason the horse is blowing up. But because it's kind of kicking, bucking and everything at the canter, maybe I would also in the arena work on the accelerator and the feeling of the horse going into canter and how easy and accessible it is in the arena. If it's kind of like a bit of the horse is dull. So some horses are, you know, and this, like I had a horse just at the last clinic at home, he's very dull to the legs, but at the clinic, holy cow, he goes, legs, I hate legs, rah, and he's really angry. But it gives you this stark contrast of how the horse shuts out in a place that it's safe and just blocks something out, only to sort of tell you later on it doesn't like it. So if you find your horse is kind of giving you really nice soft transitions in the arena, it's just you squeeze up, the horse just floats into canter and it's lovely, then chances are that it's just processing speed outside. But if there's a resistance, a lag, and the horse is not finding canter, it's pup, 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 and then into canter, and you can't get it exactly the same every time you ask for it, and then there's going to be probably something in the understanding in the canner. So if your horse is shutting it out a bit, it's going to blow up when it goes out, right? Because the legs will be like something that it hasn't really listened to thoroughly. So go back, work on the accelerator, you know, slow down, speed up, get it so you can get it when you want it and the horse is feeling good about it, okay? So you might have to do a lot more of that transition. And imagine that, you know, the canter is something that's easy to get, and then you can get the canter from a standstill, you can get it from a walk, you can get it from a trot. The horse can step up to canter nice and freely and put more range in there. The other thing is speed up in the canter, slow down in the canter, get up to nearly a gallop and come back and make sure that horse is okay with all that, that it can deal with the pressure of more inertia, more feel, more leg aid, and be okay with all that. And then you go into the forest and work on, like I said before, the slower processing till the horse is soft at going through the forest, or even just at the walk and the trot. Make sure you can get the canter really good. And it's not different every day in the arena. It's got to be kind of a consistent feeling every day. It's the same, and that goes back to a really good foundation. I don't think it's about canning him on the lunge and then take him in the forest. I think it's more the riding, because we're riding him into the forest, and if you work on that in the arena and then understand your horse's processing speed needs outside, and then slowly bring the two together, and you'll find that you won't need much pressure once a horse is very good at finding the canter to ask for it out in the forest or out on trail, which means the horse is okay with it. And then because it's processing well and it's understanding it's safe out in the forest, it'll all come together. It's just one of those things you've got to work on either and then put them together. But, yeah, no, thanks for the question, Carla.
Final question for today comes from Kerry in Australia. She's having an issue with her horse and his farrier. He becomes extremely aggressive when the farrier comes near him, but it's fine with her. He tries to seriously kick at him, and given the chance, would make contact. The last time the farrier was here, the horse bit Kerry twice, really hard, to get her to let go of him so he could get at the farrier. The farrier is extremely experienced, and she feels uncomfortable asking anyone else to come and perhaps putting them at risk. He sometimes tries to push Kerry around, so she knows she has to do more work on establishing a stronger leadership with him. But she sometimes feels he sees her as one of her is her to protect. She wondered if it was a man thing, but he loved you. So at this point, she's not sure if it's a farrier or a feet thing. He's 14. Is it going to be extremely difficult to reverse at his age?
I think there will be a little bit of education required to get him to let go of what's happening there. It's a threatening thing. They feel trapped. They might have been shut down a bit. They're kind of like, and everything's coming out, and it's almost like, you know, the horse has been saddled obediently for years and then suddenly has a say and then gets aggressive sort of thing. And then all the people that have big energy that feels threatened by that might have made it worried or shut down. It's all like, get away from me. I don't want to be trapped here. I don't like this. And it kind of escalates into this scenario where the horse is defensive and it's, you know, aggressive towards the farrier and doesn't want to be trapped. So there's a few things you've got to sort of really do, I think, Kerry, is one thing, firstly, is be yourself around your horse. And like I said, like the question, eye contact question is, you know, should we look away to take the heat off our horses? Well, if the horses always think that looking at them's heat, then we'll never be able to just walk up to a horse and nobody else is going to be able to come up and walk up to it. So what we have to look at is, okay, I need to walk up to my horse in a hurry. Now, what I think, what I would kind of start to do is see if in your training you can do a lot of looking away lessons where he kind of make a pressure that kind of worries him a little bit, like whether it be with a flag and get him to look away from it and allow him to walk away and then come back. And if he starts to get a bit trapped and frozen in his mind, then he's going to sort of get aggressive when he feels that you know, the people who have got big energies or they've just got normal energy and they're not cautious, you know, they come into his space. So basically, you know, let go of a freeze if there's any freeze in his groundwork. So maybe find something that worries him a little bit that makes him kind of go into that headspace where he feels frozen, and then stimulate him. And you might have seen lessons where I kind of stimulate a horse with a flag until they look away from it, and then they breathe and they go, oh, I can do that, and allow him to go away and come back. That's really important to keep going and managing that look away, come back, look away, go away, come back. So the horse is constantly in that free state of mind. It's a mindset in the horse that they're free to make decisions, okay? So that's what you want to look at there. The other thing is, if you feel that when you're catching him and sometimes you've got to do a bit of slow down, he's a bit wary, I've got to wait a little and then let him kind of slowly soften so you can walk up to him. As I say to people, it's really good for a wild horse, but for a horse that needs to get used to people coming in and doing stuff, you've got to expose him to walking up to him with good intention, but big energy doesn't mean bad intention. And this is my whole kind of thing, why I try and get people away from, stop lifting your energy up to push your horse away all the time, because how are you going to run to your horse in a hurry in a bushfire? Or how's the farrier that's in a hurry because he's got a lot of horses to do, going to walk up to your horse with his tools in a hurry just to get the job done? Because they're going to see it as a threat, they're going to get frozen and then aggressive, or they're going to get too frightened. And so when you approach him, start to approach him and say, I can see you're frozen, mate, but that's okay. I'm going to keep walking up to you in this energy, but just be careful he doesn't get too aggressive. You still got to watch that. And then he might freeze a bit in a corner and you just touch him and go, and then just walk away. And he's going to, oh, nothing happened. What? She didn't do anything. She just walked up to me in a hurry and just left me. And then do that 20 times. And you might find he goes, oh, gee, I thought when you were walking up with a lot of energy, because I've been chased before and this has happened before in my life, and I just thought it was a threat. And I didn't realize that you were just going up to touch and go, and you had a big smile on your face. So you've got to say to him in your normal habits around him, I have a bigger energy and it changes, but you don't have to change when my energy changes, because my intention has always been to make you feel better. No matter how fast I'm walking, how slow I'm walking, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. I want you to feel good. So you have to kind of, you know, work him in a way, and maybe introduce other people to him after you've done a fair bit of this, that just walk up, touch and go, leave him with different energy, so he gets used to that different person energy coming in on him. But for everyone, I really want to say that we can't just always be such a good listener that we're walking up to our horses in this cautious guru sort of approach and retreat way. When the horse hardens, we wait a little and listen to it, because if we do that all the time, we'll have a horse that feels frozen and not trusting around someone that's got this kind of energy that doesn't listen to their little signals. So, and if you don't want to freeze the horse, if you're worried about walking up to the horse in a hurry and freezing it, it doesn't really matter if a horse freezes. It's the matter that it can come out of a freeze. So sometimes not allowing a horse to freeze is actually allowing it to freeze when it's under pressure. So a horse that's been pre-frozen or pre-shut down, you've got to say, well, the horse has already been here before. So when you walk up to it in a hurry and it freezes, it's really, we really want to stop when they do that, so they don't freeze, so we don't shut them down or turn them into a frozen horse. But I've seen it too many times where I've allowed people to walk up to their frozen horse in a bit of a hurry, touch it, and of course they've walked away in such a hurry, the horse goes, oh, they comes out of the freeze really quickly, and they go, oh, nothing happened. It's when you stay in there too long, they feel helpless, and then they sort of stay frozen. But if you did it a lot of times, you like I said before, you'll find that the horse will freeze, but then it'll unfreeze. Then all of a sudden, as you're walking to it in a hurry, they'll just unfreeze and soften and almost come towards you saying hello. And for a lot of horses that I've seen, that's the first time anyone said energy doesn't mean threat. And then they go, thank God for that. And then all of a sudden you watch these horses float around in an environment with all these different energy people going, oh, energy, it's just energy. Oh, they're still not, it's not towards me, it's not personal. So that's also a big thing I think you want to look into. So looking away, looking back. And the other thing is, you know, you can still say to him, let go of that thought. When you see that thought coming as a trainer and someone who's kind of there and responsible for the horse that someone else is handling to trim them or shoe them, it's a good responsibility to have let go of that thought, and the horse trusts us and that rope and the decision more than its decision, okay? So you don't want to freeze your horse every time you say don't do that. But I think if you sort of say let go of that in training when the farrier's not there and say follow this over here, and when he gets a hard thought, say let go of that, but then you say now follow this instead, and complete that with a pathway that makes him look like he's softened, not just said don't do that and that's it, then he'll get a lot better. So we still have a responsibility to, when a horse gets a strong hard thought, that we can get them out of that. Because you know, with all the training, there's still going to be spots there that you've got to sort of override and say, like the rope or my decision overrides everything, and you have to accept that, because it's just a safety thing around kids, around other people, especially farriers underneath them and stuff like that. So anyway, focus and work on all that and see how you go, and then you know, down the track, if there's a really big drama, then we might make contact, and if he's getting really kind of defensive, then we'll have to look at a sort of a, you know, serious solution to it. But thanks, Kerry, for the question. Thank you very much, Ebony, for being our presenter today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you for all your answers, Dad, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Australia's very own Mark Langley, a horseman with many insights from his decades of dabbling. Jump online to keep learning. marklangley.com.au